This is Solly and Steve on Sports, the show dedicated to us ranting about sports.
How you doing? This is indeed Solly and Steve on Sports, the show dedicated to us ranting about sports, brought to you by the I-95 Sports and Entertainment Network and Mile High Radio in Denver. Solly and Jeff coming to you from the FedEx Studios.
Is it really Solly and Steve on Sports anymore?
It hasn't been in a long time. The one time I don't show up, Steve and Third Mike Dan are here. Other than that, it's been you and me for like, almost 2 months now?
A month.
At least.
Help me!
Don't worry, we have just that this week. Since Steve and Dan are not here, they're mourning the Ranger loss. We'll get to that in a minute. Eric is joining us. He hasn't been here since we did World Cup, but he's back.
Hello.
So, yeah, you got it. So, you got the Three Stooges back together. Steve and Dan, who knows when they're coming back? They might be back next week. I don't know yet. But we got plenty to talk about on the show tonight. We're going to get to...
I can't hit that high note.
I know you can't.
As soon as the Rangers' career is buried in the ground, then they'll be here.
Yeah, pretty much. Well, as soon as...
season, not career.
As soon as Alain Vigneault's career as Rangers head coach...
What did he say, Eric?
I meant to say, as soon as the Rangers' season is buried in the ground, then they'll be back, but I think I said career instead
of
season.
Yeah, you did. Wrong! Yeah. So you've officially been inducted into the club of being Kevin Spacey on the show.
Oh, boy.
Yep.
Welcome to the family. You're amongst friends.
Yes.
Yay.
We welcome you with open arms once again.
Yay.
So we got a lot to talk about tonight. We'll get to the dysfunction known as the New York Mets and Matt Harvey. That's been a big topic. We'll get to that later.
So this is As the Mets Turn now?
Pretty much.
The spinoff of As the Knicks Turns?
Yep. So everybody's getting their own spinoff. This time the Mets get theirs. More on that later. Yep. We'll get into the NBA playoffs. We'll get into the Knicks. Well, not the Knicks. You got me messed up now. We'll get into the Yankees.
I'm rubbing off on you.
He is. But we'll get all that going later on. This is the immediate reaction after Game 6 at Madison Square Garden. Rangers, Senators. The Ottawa Senators have punched their ticket to the Eastern Conference Finals. They're moving on. And for the first time since 2007, they're playing for an Eastern Conference championship. What surprised me out of all of this was, up until tonight, it had been predominantly a home ice series.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And the Rangers, out of all the times to finally decide, you know what? We're going to crap the bed. It has to be tonight.
Yeah.
I mean,
you can't say we have to crap the bed. I mean, you saw what they did in the third period trying to come back from down 3-1, and they had all the energy with Kreider's goal right there, under the first minute.
53 seconds
and you
in.
Saw what aggressive checking they did, too.
Yeah,
hard-hitting.
But by that point, Craig Anderson was, Craig Anderson, he'd been playing out of his mind in the playoffs, and it was too little too late.
Yeah.
And it seems like it's been a thing with the Rangers this year, that they've had spurts where they look fantastic. They did in games 3 and 4 in this series when they came away with 4-1.
They did it too, but their defense wasn't intact.
But that's the one thing, though, that's bothered me throughout the entire playoffs, especially in game 1 and 2 in Ottawa. It was most notably in game 2. Alain Vigneault said this in his press conference after game 2. He didn't know that Ottawa had pulled their goalie.
What? I was about to go off on something else, and then that at me with that quote?
Yeah, apparently.
How?
Alain Vigneault had said this during his press conference after game 2. This was the double overtime loss when Pageot scored 4 goals. He didn't know that Ottawa had pulled their goalie, or he wasn't aware of it, or as aware of it as he should have been. Ottawa pulled their goalie. They had the extra attacker. Pageot got the hat trick on the deflection to tie the game at 5. We went to overtime, and then Pageot scored again.
You know when he said that? Because I remember hearing someone thought they didn't know that the goalie was pulled, but when he said it was a coach...
Yeah, no, it was AD.
This was my reaction when I was trying to think of something to say.
It's an accurate description.
It is. My brain just decided to just go off...
In another realm.
What I really want to know about that, though, is how do you miss the big guy in pads with the mask missing from the net?
That's because... I don't know. How are you not aware that
Because he's too focused on seeing Mark Stahl mess up the whole defensive zone coverage.
Yep. But how could you not notice Ottawa having 6 guys on the ice and the ref not with his arm in the air for a penalty? How do you not pick up on that? Like, you're the head coach. You're supposed to understand stuff like this. And AV's done good with the Rangers. He's gotten them to the Cup Finals. He's gotten them to the Conference Finals at least twice. He's gotten
and the Stanley Cup final.
We said that already.
Yeah, he's gotten to the finals once. He's been in 2 finals as a head coach. He led Vancouver to the finals in 2011 when they lost to Boston.
Yes.
So he knows what he's doing. But apparently, he can't seem to get the Rangers over that final push. And, you know, as soon as the game ended, stuff started popping up on my social media feed, mostly Ranger fans, saying that it was a good year, but they want to see AV fired, and they want to see at least half of their defensive core gone.
I mean, for this year, with all those coaches gone from L.A. and who else
Florida,
was gone?
Florida fired their coach, the Islanders.
Well, no one's going to pick up Capuano.
Yeah, I know that, but
I'm talking about Sutter from L.A.
He's probably Gerard Gallant already got hired.
I don't care about Gerard Gallant.
Wait, no, he was the Panthers coach who was fired at the beginning of the year.
I don't care, I said.
He's now coaching in Vegas.
How many times do I have to say, I don't care about him?
And A.V.
You have to say a few hundred more times.
I know. Matt doesn't get it.
And the Rangers are going to extend him anyway. Why? Because they're the Rangers.
Yeah, but for a year of head coaches, I would say if they don't have, like, interviews with Sutter and other guys, who else? I can't say the guy that in Dallas anymore, Ken Hitchcock, because he signed with Dallas. He was fired from St. Louis.
Yep.
So he can't say that. But it's a decent year to at least look at coaches and see if you can replace AV if the Rangers want to go in that direction. I don't know. The thing is that the Rangers, or I should say just Vigneault himself, has too much trust in his veterans, I should say, in his veteran defense corps, like with Mark Stahl, Girardi, right?
Dan Girardi.
Those who have been very poor possession players, and you trust them in the final minutes of the game, and you're
Brady
doing
Shea, I've heard
and,
his
and
name
you're doing
around.
Prevent yeah. D hockey as well, and that is just a recipe for what you saw tonight, or as a result from that series, a 4-2 series loss.
Yeah,
which ironically enough was also the same score of Game 6. It was a 4-2 loss for the Rangers. And that's the way it worked out in the series.
I don't care about that also.
Well, we gotta show a little bit of symmetry here. You have to show a little bit of compassion.
I don't know why
I'm showing any compassion. I'm an Islander fan. And I'm loving the fact that
you show
the
reverse compassion.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly...
You throw salt in the wounds.
As a Rangers fan, I mean, yes, I am upset that this happened. But at the same time, you know, you saw how they played against Montreal and you saw how they struggled with this series. I mean, you know, I can't really say that I was surprised by this. I mean, it looked like they put everything they had into the Montreal season, into the Montreal series.
Yeah.
Yeah. And also, too, the season that they had, too. I mean, it was a very rocky season, too. I mean, and like you said, when they had spurts and then they'd lose steam and, you know, for what it was a good run, at least in my opinion, I think.
Well,
but it's been another complete... Sorry, man. I see you going, oh, Jeff, you've interrupted me.
No,
Jeff,
go ahead.
The thing is that...
You think I care?
The Rangers have been in the postseason...
By the way, guys, they are an old married couple. That's why they are arguing like one.
Yeah.
I like the rock you gave me.
Yeah.
But
it's a nice giant one. I hope you like it.
I know, right? 24 carats.
It's beautiful.
You should see what they have planned for their anniversary dinner.
Oh it's so beautiful.
But
there's going to be candles and a band and an orchestra and everything.
Don't worry, we have the perfect band lined up. Anyway,
the Rangers though have been in
the
playoffs.
Going to be the same one that went down with the Titanic.
One time since 2008, and they have various degrees of success, as you said, but they just can't seem to be that consistent team, like as you see with Pittsburgh, that have won two cups during that time, as you should say, and also. They made a couple cup. They probably lost a cup final, right?
They've been to three cup finals.
2008 against Detroit. But they don't have the level of success that Pittsburgh and Chicago have with a couple cups under their ring.
And the Kings into that argument too.
Yeah, the Kings
have won twice.
Yeah. Anyone who has won a cup, and the Rangers have been in the playoffs for almost all of them, and all they have done is lose. So you can't say a second round exit. It is a good season for them anymore.
It's especially not.
When Henrik Lundqvist's window is closing out for them.
No, I'm saying for the kind of season that they had.
It doesn't matter because when you're in the playoffs and the Rangers being the fourth team in the Atlantic, it's not Atlantic anymore. It's in the Metropolitan Division.
Yeah, fourth team
where
in the
they
Metro.
Got the first wild card and that granted them a trip against the Atlantic Division teams.
Which would be a
red carpet walk. Right into the conference finals against whatever divisional rival you had coming out of the Metropolitan Division,
which might be Washington, but we'll get to that in a second.
So
but that also shows how tough that division was.
It's during the hockey season. Steve kept on saying the Rangers should stay right there,
and they did.
And what it gave them a second round exit. Like if they were in the first in one of the top three in the Metropolitan Division, I mean, we don't know how far they'll go. It probably would have been a first-round exit, or it could have been surprised, and they could have gone to the second round and lost in the same place. But the thing is that you can't take it for granted. It could have been the easiest way, but Ottawa has shown...
But that goes to show that the Stanley Cup playoffs, nothing is easy.
Okay, thanks for interrupting me, Matt.
Sure. Anytime. But that goes to show that this playoffs, especially more than anybody else, is the most unpredictable, NFL notwithstanding, because NFL's only one game. But still, that's what makes the hockey playoffs better than the NBA playoffs, and I've argued this for the longest time, is that the NBA playoffs, you know what you're going to get. You're going to get Cleveland, you're going to get Golden State. That's on the collision course again. Stanley Cup playoffs, you never know. That's why Nashville's in the Western Conference Finals for the first time.
That's why Charles Barkley wants to watch NHL games more than NBA games, but he has to watch NBA games because he's paid to do that.
Yeah.
And comment on it.
Yeah. But you've been so bored by him, they got the NHL playoffs out in the back room.
No. He said he'd rather have them. A few days ago, like when the Jazz were eliminated, they're doing this whole thing, gun fishing or something like that.
Yeah.
And they were talking about Zambonis because Zambonis were invented in Utah, and that's where the Jazz play, of course. And he says, speaking of Zambonis, I'm glad that the NHL playoffs, not this isn't verbatim, but he was glad that the NHL playoffs are more entertaining than all these blowouts that he's been seeing in the NBA.
And he's right.
Yeah, but besides the point, though, that there's a lot more parity in the NHL.
Parity, yeah.
Sorry.
No, it's fine.
But there's a lot more competition, even though all those teams are so good. It's so tight. It's so close. I mean, like, we had so many overtime games in the first round by himself.
18 overtime games in the first round, and we've had at least four more in the second round.
So it's exciting stuff, and it's surprising that it doesn't get the attention it deserves because it's really the most intense sports action you've seen probably besides the World Cup.
Yeah, but then again, ESPN's not going to cover it. Hell, they just laid off 100 employees, including their entire hockey division. So why is ESPN going to cover it? Because they're ESPN and they decide to...
Well, they have to honor their contracts of billions of dollars paid to broadcast NBA games, MLB games, and NFL games, Monday Night Football. They paid premiums of that.
Yeah,
and,
but they barely...
And especially subscription services to watch ESPN has gone down, so they got to cut corners by, you know, by cutting things that really are not going to show much on the bottom line.
Yeah, and they're barely showing time in baseball.
But that's for another discussion.
Right.
As you said, in the Western Conference, like Nashville, oh my God, that team is insanely good.
Yep.
Yeah.
And they had trouble throughout the season. They got together at the right time, and they blown by the St. Louis Blues to make it to the Western Conference Finals for the first time. I am happy as hell for them.
I love it. Yeah. And
now I want to go to Nashville to experience a game.
So do I.
Hearing that crowd when
you just want to see Vince Gill sing the national anthem.
He does. But that shows how much the city of Nashville has embraced hockey when they have huge country music stars not only singing the national anthem, but providing entertainment in between periods.
And also, too, Vince Gill and his wife, I think they're season ticket holders.
They are. And, oh, yeah,
Nashville has embraced the hell out of that sport.
And, by the way, Carrie Underwood's married to the Predators captain. She's married to Mike Fisher. She's married to Mike Fisher, the Predators captain.
Oh, yeah.
So you got that, and you got some guy named Pecorine playing out of his mind.
And you also got some guy named P.K. Subban.
Yep. But I mean, look, he
might be the number two defenseman.
I know, which is even more amazing.
Two?
Yeah.
What's his name?
Seth Jones. Or was Seth Jones, but he got traded. Wow. Sure as hell ain't Shea Weber, because Weber's in Montreal. Yeah, I know.
Seth Jones.
I know.
Matt, I had the setup for you.
Yeah, but how is P.K. Subban the number two defenseman in that city? Behind Pecorine. Rene's the goalie, but I know, but... How is Subban the number two defenseman? He's the best defenseman on that team.
No, he's not.
Who is? Ryan Ellis?
Yes.
I'd say it's about even.
It's about even, but I mean that's the thing. It's like up for debate that P.K. Subban could be the number two defenseman on the Predators.
And they
traded Seth Jones for
Ryan Johansson,
who is being amazing and a difference maker for a team that has lacked an offense throughout the entire franchise history.
And now they have a guy who can help carry the load along with Mike Fisher up the middle. But look at the numbers for Pecorine so far in the playoffs. He's the best goalie in postseason play, 8-2. He's got a 1.37 goals against, a .951 save percentage, and two shutouts in 612 minutes of hockey. I'm telling you right now.
Look at that horrible mug of Evgeny Malkin.
I know. I know, we'll get to that later. But
looks like an ugly bear.
He does. But, again, I promise we'll touch on the Pittsburgh series.
Bear.
Yeah. Well, I was going to say, I almost said you can go to Malkin's house, but I'm like, wait a minute, there's two cups in the house. Ovechkin doesn't have any.
Ugh, he has such a punchable face, doesn't he?
Who, Malkin?
Yeah. Anyways.
The only face that's more punchable than his is Crosby's, but that's another argument entirely.
Yeah, but if you punch him, he'll get a concussion.
Please,
we're totally not condoning violence against NHL stars.
No, we're not.
No, because we'll get our asses kicked.
Yeah, well, yeah. Crosby got knocked out early in game six, but anyway.
Yeah, so here's Rene's line, Matt.
I just said it. He's 10-2, 1.37 goals against, 951.
8-2, you said.
Yeah, 8-2 in 10 starts, 951 save percentage, 1.37 goals against, 2 shutouts. If Nashville makes the cup finals, and it's still an F, because they're going to get through either Edmonton or Anaheim. I still think it's going to be Anaheim winning that series.
And that's one hell of a series.
Yes,
too.
It is.
That's been exciting.
That's going to game 7 tomorrow night. Yeah. But if Nashville makes the Stanley Cup Finals, win or lose, Pecorino deserves strong consideration and deserves to be heavily in the conversation for the Conn Smythe Trophy as MVP of the playoffs.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
There's no argument.
Definitely.
Yeah, you got nothing from me.
Right. Now, as far as who they're going to play, I will give the Edmonton Oilers credit. They are a spunky bunch going up against a team who was the best in the Western Conference last year, won the division this year, and had a chance to completely close out the series after winning in double overtime in fantastic fashion in Game 5. Then they get rudely spanked in the opening of Game 6 to the point where John Gibson gets pulled for the second time in the playoffs. He got pulled in the opening round against Calgary, and I believe it was Game 3 of that series.
I'm pulling up the scores right now for you.
Opening series, Gibson gets pulled in game 3. Doesn't matter, Anaheim goes on to sweep Calgary. They move on to face Edmonton. And then with this series, it starts out looking like it might go Edmonton's favor. They won the first two games in Anaheim, 5-3 and 2-1. Anaheim responds rudely at Rogers Place with a 6-3 win. Followed that up with a 4-3 overtime win. And then thanks to Corey Perry's heroics in double overtime in Game 5 back in Edmonton, or back in Anaheim, rather. You're thinking, all right, they're going to go back to Edmonton. They're going to close out the series.
Yeah, especially the way that Edmonton basically blew that game up into smithereens on themselves.
Five goals in the first.
They basically had the grenade ready to destroy Anaheim, but someone pulled the trigger, and when they threw it, it fell on themselves.
Yep. Ouch.
That's how bad it was. The comeback and the overtime loss.
Because Anaheim tied it.
It was basically like they were playing hot potato with a live grenade.
Pretty much.
No, they mistakenly held on the grenade for too long.
And it blew up on them.
They cooked it for too long. Yeah.
It blew up on them with 15 seconds left.
Oh.
In regulation, forced overtime, and then Corey Perry won it 6.5 minutes into double overtime.
But the resolve of the Oilers right there in game 6, going up 5-0 after the first period.
Oof. Tacked on two more in the third for a 7-1 win, and we go back to Honda Center for Game 7 tomorrow night at 10 o'clock. Winner gets Nashville.
It's so tough to pick against Nashville. It's so tough.
I know, and the last time these two teams
I'm trying to think of a scenario. These two are bad at bruised teams, Game 7. I mean, yes, Nashville also went to Game 6, but that was like on Saturday or on Sunday. And meanwhile, we're going to Wednesday for Game 7. And then, you know, Game 1 is probably going to be Friday. So, you know, you have...
Game 1 of the West will be Saturday. Game 1 of the East will be Sunday.
So they won Game 6 on Sunday, and they have 6 days to rest.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
That's a nice little break there.
And the last time these two teams... There's only one other time that these two teams have met in the playoffs prior, Anaheim and Edmonton. 2006, Oilers won the series in 5 games before Edmonton lost in the finals to Carolina that year. So they've got it. So the Edmonton... And ironically enough, that was also the last time the Oilers made the Stanley Cup playoffs.
Okay, good for
them. 2006. Yeah. So now they're going up against an ornery John Gibson who's going to want payback after getting the hook in the early shower in game six of this year. He's not going to be very happy. It could be a long night for Connor McDavid and company, but with the way Leon Draisaitl's been playing, he's been playing incredible. He's played out of his mind in the playoffs this year. Leon Draisaitl's been fantastic for Edmonton this year, and nobody expected it.
Tell everyone who Leon Draisaitl is if they haven't heard of his name before.
If you haven't heard that name before, Leon Draisaitl is... He's racked up 16 points in 12 playoff games so far this year, and he's coming out of Kolding, Germany. Kicker is, he wasn't even drafted.
No, the kicker is, no, yeah, he was. I think he was like third overall.
You're right, third overall, 2014.
Matt,
wow. Yeah.
Wrong!
Yeah, I know.
Wow.
I completely overlooked that when I was looking at his year's average.
Come on, Matt. Yeah,
I forgot Draisaitl was third overall that year.
Wrong!
I know.
That was by accident.
But it worked out great.
Nah, he deserved a double for that.
Oh. No, now it's a triple.
Wrong!
And for the record, the two guys that were picked ahead of Draisaitl in that draft.
Oh, and how about one more for good luck?
Okay, one more for good luck.
Yeah, why not?
Wrong!
That's a future wrong.
I know. That's a preemptive wrong. So the two guys who were picked ahead of Leon Draisaitl in 2014 were Aaron Ekblad of the Panthers and Sam Reinhart of Buffalo. They were the two guys picked ahead of Leon Draisaitl.
Good for them.
Yeah, he's had a kind of an under-the-radar career to this point, but all of a sudden, you pair him up with McDavid, and bada-boom, takes off.
Poor Taylor Hall.
I know, I feel so bad for him.
Anyways,
he's traded
back
to Purgatory in Jersey.
Well, they're going to have the number one. Well, New Jersey has the number one overall pick, so basically...
Shockingly.
If you were Taylor Hall, you're a number one pick good luck charm.
Yeah, it looks that way.
Yep, so now we're going to the other game, 7, back to the nation's capital, Washington, D.C.
And this was after the...
What was that for?
I don't know.
Yeah, this was after the Penguins had a chance to close out the Caps. They were up by 2 in the series. Now, we got a Game 7.
In a very good Game 5 on Sunday.
Oh, that was fun to watch.
Yeah, I mean, it started off where Pittsburgh had the lead. It looked like they were in control after the first two periods. And then, as soon as the third period started, Washington's best players, Backstrom, Ovechkin,
Niskanen,
exactly.
Oshie, they're like, nah, we'll take over.
Yep.
What day was this?
Sunday.
Yeah, it was Sunday night. But, and the kicker was, Pittsburgh had been playing
Friday.
Okay. Yeah, it was Friday night, you're right.
No, Saturday.
Stop messing me up.
Okay.
So,
that's
okay,
for me.
Was this game 6?
This was game 5.
This was game 5.
Game 5, this was after
game
the
five,
Derby.
Okay.
That's why it's Saturday.
Yes. Okay. It was game 5. It was after the Kentucky Derby. Pittsburgh looked like they were going to close out the series. Washington said, nah, we'll get ourselves back into it. But prior to game 5, I'm thinking to myself, all right.
Another embarrassing season for the Capitals.
Yeah, that's exactly
what
was happening.
Making out of the second round again.
And it wasn't so much that Pittsburgh was dominating the series. It was Washington was shooting themselves in the foot. They were giving up too many breakaways and quality scoring chances. Braden Holtby had looked off the first 4 games of the series. And you know it's going to be a bad series when a puck hits off a defenseman right in front of the goalie and goes in. Oof. That happened in game 4. It was the Justin Schultz goal. It hit off of Dmitry Orlov. It literally hit Orlov, who was trying to knock the puck away from the guy on the other side. I believe it was Malkin. And instead of trying to deflect the puck into the corner, he knocked it into his own net.
And now you have game 6 on Monday, where that was a complete...
domination.
Complete Ramstein domination.
Yep. And that was without Sidney Crosby, who got taken out early on in game 6.
Didn't he play, though, for most of the game?
He came back later, but did you see the fall, though?
Yeah, it was a very bad hit against the boards, or like he stumbled. He lost an edge or something like that and crashed into boards where other people were just slamming bodies on him.
Oh, I'm not the biggest Sidney Crosby supporter. That's only because he tortures me as an Islander fan every year. But that's beside the point. Just to see Crosby go down like that, it's like, oh, great. The face of the league's hurt again. Because Crosby is to the NHL what LeBron James is to the NBA. He's the face of the league. Most fans hate him. But that's for obvious reasons, because he's so good.
Oh, you're looking at
you
now?
Oh, yeah. I just saw that. Oh, that was nasty.
Cleveland Brown fits perfectly.
Somehow the concussion spotters did not even bother to spot that or stuff like that.
Man.
Which is like, really? A guy with concussion history, you might want to check that out.
Yeah, and you've been paying attention to concussion protocol all year long. You have concussion spotters in the crowd the entire season, yet that somehow gets missed. I'm like, I'm sorry. I would have sit the rest of the
game.
Okay,
so predictions, Matt. Eric, who do you think will win these game 7s?
Anaheim pulls it out. John Gibson's going to play out of his mind. Anaheim's just going to be better. It's going to be Anaheim and Nashville in the West. And Washington finally gets it done. Capitals finally get out of the second round in the Ovechkin era. It's going to be Washington and Ottawa in the East.
I have to agree with Matt. Absolutely.
On both fronts, why? Why?
Come
why?
On,
why?
Say something.
Say something.
Come on.
You okay? He's
got a fur ball.
Eric, okay.
Eric got a fur ball.
Cough it out. Breathe.
All right.
Breathe.
Take a deep breath.
Remember what you learned in Lamaze.
Take a deep breath. It's okay.
You're
so he's agreeing with us, or he's agreeing with me at least, that it's going to be Anaheim, it's going to be Nashville and Edmonton in the West,
right,
and
yeah,
Washington
yeah, yeah.
And Ottawa in the East.
Drink that Schweppes.
So what do you think, Jeff? Are we right? Or
I want to see, I'm going to be rooting hard for Washington for this one, because I want to see it happen. I don't want to see Pittsburgh be successful again. It's enough. And
yeah, I that is why I want to see the Capitals pull it away, because I just want to see Pittsburgh lose.
Yeah. And you know what? I'm going to say Edmonton is going to be too young to realize the pressure that they're in.
Yeah.
And they're going to make it.
And also, too, I think Crosby was cleared by the Penguins. Crosby was cleared by the Penguins doctors to play.
Of course he was.
But even then, with a hit like that, I mean, how do you, do you expect him to play at his best?
I mean, that's why you got to check him at the boards and finish your checks on Crosby.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, you have Malkin, you have Kessel, you have all those good players right there.
Yeah.
But definitely you want to finish your checks, especially on Crosby.
Yeah.
And
but Edmonton, I'm going to say they're, as I said, they're going to be just too young to really know the pressure that they're in, and they're going to make it.
All right.
Yeah. Now, does that mean that they're going to advance to the Cup Finals? Who knows? But that's not for me to say at this moment.
Yeah, we'll have a full preview of the conference finals on the sports blog, ssonsports.blogspot.com, as we go into the game, which will be over the weekend.
Drink some more.
Yep, take it easy.
Drink some of that nice black cherry Schweppes.
Yep. And while he's doing that, it's been well documented that most sports fans hate the Pittsburgh Penguins.
That's good Schweppes.
Most sports fans hate the New England Patriots, and most sports fans hate the Cleveland Cavaliers.
I wouldn't say that.
Well, I'm one of the few who can't stand the Cavs, but that's because they win so much.
I say that there's more heat against the Golden State Warriors now.
And there are the Cavs, yeah.
I feel like, after the whole Kevin Durant thing.
Oh, definitely.
And stuff like that, the Golden State Warriors have turned heel.
Yeah, and that's
on
being,
the NBA.
That's being polite. They and Cleveland have both swept their second round matchups.
No surprise there.
Cleveland took out Toronto in a sweep, and
Kyrie Lowry is going to opt out of his contract with Toronto.
Kyle Lowry, all right.
Kyle Lowry. I mixed Kyrie Irving.
That's fine. I can see Kyle Lowry.
They both start with the letter K. Shush.
Yeah. Why would I pick on you for that? Come on.
Yeah. Well, but they are two very good series in the second round that are really providing some good entertainment.
Boston and Washington, and just as we saw tonight, Houston and San Antonio are tied at 2 each.
This is where you get the wrong.
Yeah, I know.
Wrong!
That was a double wrong. Remember that preemptive wrong?
Yeah.
Now that's a second wrong.
All right.
Yeah, so Spurs.
Spurs just took the lead.
Thanks to Manu Ginobili with the block on James Harden right at the end of
and
overtime.
And a nice clean one, too.
Yeah. It was all ball, baby.
Harden didn't even see Ginobili jump to block his shot from behind.
No, and from the way that it looked too, when it was actually happening, you would think, oh, they're gonna call a foul.
Yeah.
But no, it was a clean block.
Yeah, it was hand on ball the whole way.
Yeah.
And I'm rooting for San Antonio because they're that team that's the most underrated yet one of the most successful teams ever. If you're a fan of basketball, of course you know this. But you can't say enough about how great the Spurs are and how unrecognized the Spurs are at the same time.
They're big stars, with the exception of like Tony Parker.
Even with the big fundamental retired, even if he was there, they were not ever really
even
recognized.
Even without the Admiral.
they're the most unrecognizable superstar team in all of sports.
Yeah.
And that shows that what great coaching can do. If you have the right coach mixed in with the right players, the Spurs have the longest active consecutive playoff streak. They've been in the playoffs now 20 straight years. 20 straight years in the playoffs.
With one coach.
Yep, they've won five NBA titles. They'll probably, in all likelihood, be in the Western Conference Finals for the second time in 3 years.
Houston has been really pressing them.
I mean, yeah. I mean, look at how James Harden's led them the last couple of games before tonight. He had 43 points in Game 3 of the series, even though it led to a loss. A 103-92 loss. And then he dropped 28 in the Game 4 win. And that was when Kawhi Leonard had an off night in Game 4. So now we go to Game 5. Kawhi Leonard had a decent basketball game from what we saw. He had Manu making the block at the end of overtime. Shouldn't have gone there, but had San Antonio been able to get the shot off at the end of regulation, we wouldn't have needed the extra time. And I don't think we would have gotten the great block that we got. So who knows?
Yeah, but I mean, I understand when Charles Barkley said that the NBA playoffs have been very.
I didn't fully grasp what he said until I just looked at the playoff. At the playoff thing,
what
right
do you mean?
Yeah,
like all the blowouts and everything. It's like,
well, even in the games, like there was like I forgot the exact stat, but there was a very strong handful, maybe almost 10 games where, not I don't know 10, but I know they're like in the double digits of how many games went over 15 points by the end of the game.
Well, it was an interesting stat that I saw the other day, in that, and this is related to Golden State. And the entire playoffs that Golden State has played so far, they've led by 20 or more points for a total of 67 minutes in the playoffs, and they've trailed for a total of 59 minutes the entire playoffs. Think about that. They've spent more time in the playoffs leading by 20 or more points than they've spent trailing in the entire postseason. That's astronomical numbers if you're Golden State. It's amazing. And not only that, but with Golden State sweeping Utah, they swept consecutive playoff series for the first time in franchise history, and also had their best eight-game playoff start in team history. They've never won eight straight up until now.
Wow. And now you go to the whole Boston and Washington, and that's another home series. Ooh. Where the home teams won their respective games going into Game 5. Going to be in Boston tomorrow night.
And by the way,
as of this recording,
and going up to what you were saying about double-digit points, 15 of the 16 conference semifinals heading into tonight had been decided by 10 points or more. 7 of those games have been 20 points or over.
I mean, that's really sad.
Yeah.
I mean, you gotta think of what you can do for the NBA to be more competitive overall. I mean, it's really tough to think about. Is like because more teams want to be, more players want to be part of super teams, or is like NBA development, or what?
I don't think it's necessarily putting it on the D League for being able to teach guys defensive systems, because I think I think a lot of NBA teams have the same mentality in that they want to be like Cleveland and Golden State, and that's just shoot the lights out. The hell with defense.
But I mean, those teams kind of play defense enough.
Yeah, they,
right?
They do. I mean, that's why both Cleveland and Golden State are unbeaten so far. Seriously, the Cavs and the Warriors are the only NBA teams. It's the first time in NBA history that two teams have started 8-0 in the same postseason once they switched to the 7-game format throughout the course of the playoffs.
I'm just trying to think of what can be done where you can have more competitive NBA games in the playoffs. At least in the playoffs.
Well, I would make one suggestion, but I don't necessarily see it happening. You could possibly shorten the length of an NBA game.
No.
Cut it down from like 48 minutes to 40 minutes.
I mean, 48 minutes is the shortest amount in all the major sports.
Right, but...
I mean, NBA, MLB has no
time limit, right.
But still, it's...
Yeah, hockey and basketball. Hockey and football are both 60-minute games. The NBA is 48. I mean, again, it's just an idea. I don't necessarily think Adam Silver is going to listen to any of it. If somehow he does, thank you, Commissioner, for taking time to listen to our fine radio program, but still.
Podcast.
Same difference. It's a radio show, nevertheless.
Podcast.
Tomato, tomato.
Yeah, exactly. So, for listening to this fine program.
Apple, orange.
It's all the same thing. It's radio. It's sports talk.
Yeah.
We're all a bunch of fruits.
Hey, speak for yourself. You speak for yourself on that one, sir. So that's how bad the NBA playoffs have been, is that they're degenerating to this.
Yeah. It's tough for me to remember when Michael Jordan played, because that was when I was still too young to really grasp the whole, like, playoff or
yeah, you just knew he was like the best player and the Bulls were the best team at the time.
Yeah, yeah. It's like where you can pencil them in for the finals, but I felt like there was more competition.
Oh yeah,
there
definitely
overall.
Was.
I mean, like even in the Eastern Conference, where you really don't know who was gonna make it, like you had a more handful of teams.
Yeah,
that could say yes, this team can go to the NBA Finals. I mean, like with the NHL playoffs. When today started, every single team, you think they could have made it to at least the Stanley Cup Finals.
Yeah.
I mean, Matt.
Yeah.
Do you agree with that?
No, I do. I'm just trying to. I just wanted to try to look something off the back of your argument.
If Washington like make you can see Washington go to Stanley Cup Finals if they get it out of the way. You can see Pittsburgh because they've improved, and the Rangers have made it to the finals. I mean, if Ottawa has a great core where they can make a run and surprise everyone because they're so underrated, yeah. And Edmonton with their great young talent, Anaheim with their experience. Nashville with their intensity and talent.
Yeah,
you
now,
could, you could, that 17.
How crazy would it be to have an all Canada Stanley Cup final?
That hasn't happened since the late 80s, yeah. But it is possible.
But what I'm trying to say is that you could see more teams make it to the Stanley Cup finals. Meanwhile, in the NBA, you can only possibly see San Antonio,
Golden State, yeah. Cleveland.
Well, usually the same guys making it every single year.
Here's the back of your argument, though.
I mean, back then you had like the Knicks, Rockets, Pacers.
In the early 90s, the Bulls, the Knicks, the Suns, the Magic, the Jazz, the Sonics.
The Lakers.
Yeah. From like 99 down, it was pretty much like the same five teams out of the Western Conference. You had, let's see.
Well, Spurs also.
San Antonio, the Lakers, Dallas, and... OKC and Golden State. From 1999 to now, you've had those five teams come out of the Western Conference. All right? Oklahoma City has made it once, 2012. But in the East, from 99 to now, it's been the Knicks, Pacers, Sixers.
I mean, can we start with 2000 and not include the Knicks?
All right. You have the Pacers, Sixers, Nets twice, Pistons twice, Heat, Cavs, Celtics, Magic, Celtics, Heat, Cavs. That's what the Eastern Conference has looked like from 2000 and out.
Wow.
Which is showing...
But starting from like when Cleveland made it to the finals, it was basically almost all LeBron's teams.
Yeah, with two exceptions. Three exceptions.
Magic.
You had the Magic once. 2009, they lost to the Lakers. Then you had the Celtics twice. 2008, they beat the Lakers in six. And then 2010, they lost to the Lakers in seven.
Yeah, I mean, it's sad that we have to talk about that instead of all... Like these two close series in Boston, Washington, and San Antonio, Houston.
Yeah.
Because it's just a sad state of affairs where it's not fun saying, all right.
It's not fun to watch the NBA playoffs.
Until the finals roll around, and then it's like, why?
And even that's a stretch because you know what's going to be there. Granted, you are going to get good basketball.
Yeah, you're going to get the two best teams, but still, it's like...
Switch it up a little.
It's like, why?
They're not switch it up, but it's like, where's the competition? It's like, why have all these teams when none of them can really produce? The way to get better quality playoffs might be to contract teams, but that's not going to happen because that's money going to be thrown away out of the NBA's revenue.
And they don't want to do that. No sports league wants to give away revenue. No. Yeah, absolutely not.
But I mean, you might have to consider that if this keeps being a trend where no one really cares about the level of competition when it's only three teams see over and over again making it to the highest level.
I think it's a combination of that, and it's also, I think...
It's a sad thought.
Well, no, it's teams are slowly starting to try to get up to the level of the likes of San Antonio, Golden State, and Cleveland. You've seen what Milwaukee's been able to do. They've got Giannis Antetokounmpo. They're building around him.
I like how you say that name.
Yeah, because that's actually how it's pronounced.
I know it is, but it rolls off your tongue like butter.
I know. I've had so much time practicing
it. Say it again for me, Daddy.
Giannis Antetokounmpo.
Oh.
The Greek free. Now, have you ever tried hearing Mike Francesa try to pronounce it?
He can't.
Exactly. It's the funniest damn thing. If you can ever find the audio of it.
That Greek guy.
Yeah. He can't pronounce Antetokounmpo, and neither can
silly Malacca.
It's fantastic. I've heard him botch it a couple of times. It is funny as hell. But you've got Milwaukee starting to build around him. You got the Celtics starting to build around Isaiah Thomas. And you've got something that other teams can kind of work with. But it's not enough to be able to put them up to the same level as Cleveland in the East or Golden State and San Antonio in the Western Conference. It's not happening. All right? And you want to talk about guys who are living up to expectations? Actually, I have one who's failing to do that, and his name is Matt Harvey.
Oh, when you say living up to expectations, I was like to say what, the Yankees over exceeding expectations?
We'll get to them.
No, let's quickly talk about the Yankees. Because the way, if we go into this Matt Harvey thing, that's going to go.
I know, I wanted to run with that for a little while before you cut me off.
That's basically going to go all the way. Let's give some love to the Bronx.
But that's the funny thing, though, about New York baseball.
Eric, I know you're a Yankee fan. You can chime in when you want about the Yankees
but
here.
That's
how successful they have been
exactly,
so far,
but
being the best team in baseball so far with. Such a young talent of kids.
Oh, yeah the baby bombers.
Baby bombers.
And that's the fun thing, about New York baseball is that when one team sucks, they take all the headlines. When the other team's winning, there's no noise about them.
Yeah, exactly.
There's no negative noise about them.
Yeah.
You're hearing all the great stuff that's coming down with Aaron Judge.
Oh, Aaron Judge, yeah, especially Aaron Judge.
Got, I think, the third most home runs for a Yankee player in his first 25 games, trailing only A-Rod and
didn't he have the most home runs for the month of April, too?
I think he did, yeah. He had 13
in
April.
Yeah, he was rookie of the month.
Yeah.
13 in April, second most through the first 25 games of a Yankee career behind only A-Rod and some guy named Babe Ruth. Yeah. Might have heard of him.
No. Who is he?
Who is this Babe Ruth character?
I don't know either, but apparently...
Somehow my history...
Was he named after the candy bar?
I think so, but he also made beer and hot dogs a very popular food item at ballparks.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Well, thank you, Mr. Babe Ruth.
For some reason, I remember him playing in Boston, but then my memory is fuzzy after that. I don't know what happened.
There was some whole Bambino thing and...
700-plus home runs.
Whatever. Whoever this Babe person is.
Yeah, I have no idea what you're talking about.
He likes to kiss babies. That's why he's called Babe.
I think so. I think that's probably
he was a politician. He likes to kiss babies.
There you go. You got that. You got, let's see, DD's producing.
Yeah, exactly. The whole...
Austin Romine's producing.
Even though the Yankees actually lost this game, I think they
lost today?
Yeah.
Yeah, they lost 5-3.
I think that they finally have reached 10 losses in the season.
They have.
And within 30 games or so, I forgot the exact number of games they played, they reached...
Right at 30.
Okay, 30 games or so. They had, I'm trying to say, like, 10 games when they scored 10 runs or more, and it took them to like 100 plus games to reach that.
They have
reached 10 runs in 10 games.
They're actually now a half game back of the Baltimore Orioles in the division. The Orioles are 22-10. The Yankees are 21-10. So go figure. But
I don't know.
It's early in the year, I know, but still, the fact that the
Yankees... it's still very early in the year, and I mean the Yankees have been very surprising team and have. A very fun team to watch. As much as I am a Met fan, the Yankees...
I'm like, you know what?
This is what happens when you build from the draft. And you have grown players that you can grow with and be excited about. And not buy older players over and over
there's
again.
There's a couple of guys that are pure homegrown Yankees. Aaron Judge, Gary Sanchez.
Yeah.
Like they brought in Aroldis Chapman, Aaron Judge. Sure.
And what's good about Aaron Judge too is that they brought him up last year and he only made like a few appearances and he didn't do that well.
Yeah.
Like he struck out like what, over 40 times or something. But this year he seems to be doing spectacular. He seems to be doing spectacularly. I mean, he's blasting home runs. He's
worked on his stuff.
Yeah.
He's hit like moonshots.
Oh.
And
We'll see how the Yankees fare once all these adjustments come in as well.
And also, too, Aaron Judge actually made Felix Leiter, I'm thinking of James Bond, Al Leiter go, wow.
Yeah.
After you hear the ball crack, you hear Leiter go, wow.
Yeah, one of those players, once you hear the bat off the ball, it's a different sound than normal.
Yeah.
I mean, it is high,
it is far, it is gone.
All right.
All right. Is that what he says? Or is that what Michael Kay says?
Judgment Day is upon us.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, God.
Judgment Day is upon us.
Yeah.
But we'll see how the Yankees fare as the season rolls on because...
Oh, yeah, definitely.
The season is still early on, a lot of teams make adjustments to these kids.
Oh, yeah.
If you're a Yankee fan, Eric, I'm sure you agree with the sentiment.
But if they stay as consistent as they are now, then... Yeah. Then they're finally going to make it to the playoffs after this drought that they've had.
Well, no. A one-game playoff cut, it's the playoffs, but it's watered down. You want to actually, like, that's why they added the extra wildcard team to put more emphasis on winning the division and actually getting a playoff run.
Yeah.
But if you're a Yankee fan, take this winning streak, take these 21 wins, and run like hell with it.
Oh, yeah.
Because you don't know how long it's going to last, especially with the age of the pitching staff.
Run off like a bandit.
Exactly.
And also, we should talk about the Yankees because... I believe on Sunday, I want to say, is Derek Jeter Day.
Yes, it is. Mother's Day is Derek Jeter Day. Mother's Day is also Derek Jeter Day. They will retire his number. And as of this upcoming Sunday, May 14th...
Are they
going to
have a bobblehead of him wearing a Marlins cap?
No. No. But as officially...
That'll be crazy.
Yes, it would.
That'll be hilarious. I bet someone will get one just to do that.
Yeah.
it's possible.
Chip off the Yankee logo, put it in a Marlins logo. Yeah.
There are people who are crazy enough to do that. But
I am one of them.
Sell it on eBay. Just say, this is an actual Marlins head.
Yeah. But as of this Sunday, there will be
his head,
no...
Put a Marlins fish head on it.
Oh, God. Put the old Florida Marlins logo on there.
Yeah. No, I'm talking about the mascot head.
Yes! Yes! Billy the Marlin. But wait. But as of this Sunday, in all seriousness, there will no longer be any single-digit numbers available for the New York Yankees. The lowest number you can wear now in a Yankee uniform is 10. As of Sunday.
Oh, they retired all those.
Every number 0 to 9, 0 through 9 is going to be officially retired.
Wow. Yep. Wow. Who's number 0? I'm having a brain fart.
Yeah.
Trust me, I'm double checking that now.
Yeah.
All right, let's see.
Rizzuto, no. Are those Z's?
No.
Matt, you're the one with that fancy little magic box with keys on it.
Yeah, there's...
Use all right, your so there magical is no wizard.
What is retired and not
retired? Oh, so you can wear number 0.
It's possible, but I think...
It's possible.
It's possible.
But why would you?
Yeah,
anything's possible. Anything's possible!
So now...
There is a single digit.
But I don't think, according to MLB rules, you can wear number 0.
Ask where Adonia's that.
Very all right. So,
oh yeah, that's true.
Yeah. So now 0 is still an option, but 1 is retired in honor of Billy Martin. 2 will be retired in honor of Jeter. 3 Babe Ruth. 4 Lou Gehrig. 5 Joe DiMaggio. 6 Joe Torre. 7 Mickey Mantle. 8 Yogi Berra and Bill Dickey. And number 9 should go without saying, Roger Maris.
Of course.
So while the Yankees have been instilling pride in the state of New York for baseball, yeah, Matt Harvey can be saying no such thing.
Yeah.
And I wanted to throw out that stat about the 18-inning game. I'm not a Mets fan, but even I have to go. But forget it. Or do you want to get back to that?
No. We don't have time.
All right. Matt Harvey has completely found another way to embarrass not only himself, but the New York Mets. And I think because of these stupid actions, Matt Harvey just waltzed his way right out of a contract. Yeah.
I mean, I've heard the rumors about this as much as anybody, but I don't know. I heard the wonderful comedian Jim Brewer mention this the other. There has to be something going on, you know, like something bigger going on with it. Like,
yeah,
why
Matt,
he actually.
Reading all these headlines, yeah. Matt Harvey reportedly out partying until 4 a.m. night before his no show.
Yeah, but why? But why is he doing this though?
Well, then again, this is also the same guy, if you remember, was talked to before the 2015 playoffs because he missed a mandatory workout going into the divisional round.
Oh, yeah,
so
right.
That was strike number 1. This, I think, is strike number 2, and it got him suspended for 3 days. There's been various reports as to what actually happened with Matt Harvey as to why he didn't show up. Some say it was a migraine. Who knows? But apparently, the Mets actually sent security personnel over to Matt Harvey's apartment to check on him. He answered the door in his pajamas. It was like he was out golfing and he got a migraine, didn't show up to the park. He was out partying until 4 a.m., got sick, decided not to show up.
On the bright side, at least he's not pulling a Daryl Strawberry.
Very true.
But Daryl Strawberry, that 86 team was winning a lot, so yeah, a lot of excuses.
Well, yeah. And you could, yeah, but again, with the 86 team, you could make up for it because winning cures all ills. It didn't.
It's the ultimate bandage.
Exactly. Yes. It didn't matter, and it still doesn't matter what the hell
it's
do.
It's insta-heal.
Exactly. It doesn't matter what you do in your own time as long as you show up to the ballpark every night and you win.
Yeah.
Nobody's going to give a rat's ass what happened.
Yeah, exactly.
Nobody's going to care.
Yeah, I mean,
if you're a pitcher, too. Like, you only, you know, you pitch, like, one game out of how many?
It's once every 5 days.
Yeah, once every 5 days. So all you have to do is show up for, like, the rest of the 4 days and you're getting paid millions of dollars. What? I mean, sign me up for that.
Are you not entertained of getting $1 million just sitting on your butt?
4 days a week? Yeah, hey, right. I would take it.
Millions of dollars.
And wearing your pajamas in the middle of the day?
Yeah, hey, I would gladly take that.
If you're Daryl Strawberry just going in between innings, just having fun with some ladies?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's
true. The way to look at it, though, is if you're a Major League Baseball player, you're getting paid a crap load of money.
A ridiculous amount of money.
So basically,
to play a kid's game.
Yeah.
So basically with Harvey,
although I'm not going to lie, that playing baseball isn't as easy as we think it is. I mean, you know,
We all played Little League.
But when you're in the majors, they're throwing like over 90 mile an hour pitches, 100 miles, and you know, and for us to react to freaking hit that ball, I mean, but at the same time too, it's
That's why I've always argued the single hardest physical skill in all of sports is to hit a baseball.
Yeah, but back to Harvey, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
It seems like he was out partying till 4 a.m. before his Friday no-show.
Yeah. His no-show was Saturday.
Well, Friday night into Saturday.
Yeah, and that got him suspended Saturday.
But he was supposed to start on Sunday, last night. And today he apologized.
Which was probably the biggest half-assed apology I've ever heard.
Yeah, you can hear that from other people. I mean, why do you think it was half-assed?
I listened to his apology.
What did he say?
No,
it was
why silly. Do you think it's half-assed?
I'm not saying recite everything from memory, right. But still.
To me, it sounded like the same generic, I'm sorry, I'll never do it again crap that you're going to get from a professional athlete. I'm like, if you're really, truly sorry, stop screwing up.
Well, he had to say something.
No, I realized he had to say something, and it was a right move from Jay Horowitz in the PR department of the New York Mets.
I mean, did you see it or did you hear it?
No, I heard the audio.
You have to watch it, because then you can see his body language, though.
Yeah.
Because it says here that Harvey looked humiliated while apologizing. So then
there might be some sincerity to his apology.
Yeah, but you really want to prove...
But you also have to listen to his tone of voice, too, when he's saying it as well.
And if you really want to prove to the Mets organization, your teammates, and the fans... that you're genuinely sorry for screwing up.
Yeah.
Get your ass out on the mound. Return to the form that got you to start the All-Star game in 2013. Got you all the way to the World Series in 2015. Win games.
Yeah.
You win baseball, that's going to cure all ills. I guarantee it.
Yeah, but also now his friends now have to look out for him. Because he's losing millions of dollars in his next contract.
From not only the Mets, but from anybody else.
The way it is right now, it seems like the Mets are nowhere even going to be signing him.
They're not.
And even if you trade him, you're going to get him for nothing right now. So you might as well just try to see if he can, try to salvage you, because the Mets need him for all this pitching injuries.
Well, then again, they have to hang on to him because Thor's out until at least the
All-Star break. Exactly. I mean, that's what I'm saying, though. And as you said, prove it. So his friends have to say, no, man, you can't.
No partying tonight.
Even though there probably going to be some who are going to tempt him. It's like, oh, come on, let's just go once and stuff. Matt Harvey needs to show the will of a professional.
Yeah.
Start acting like a professional.
And he can't just say, come on, guys, one more drink.
No, grow up. Get your ass back to your house. You're drunk.
Exactly.
Go home.
Go home, Matt Harvey. You're drunk.
Exactly.
I mean, it's amazing how this stuff happens to franchises like the Mets, honestly.
It seems like it's the Mets, the Knicks, and the Jets. It seems like out of all the New York teams, and to a certain degree, the Islanders, too. But it seems more so like...
I think you're just pissed off at the Islanders while being a fan.
Look at the squad with Barclay Center. There's that.
But that's not the players.
I'm not saying it was the players.
This is about the players.
I'm not labeling screw-up specifically to the players. I'm just saying, as an organization, it always seems like...
Just get to your point, and we'll discuss about that in a lightning round.
Finish off, and then we'll go to the lightning round. No, finish your statement. That was my statement. It seems like the Mets, the Jets, the Knicks, and the Islanders always have something wrong with the organization in some way, shape, or form. Yeah. Lightning round, let's go. It's now time for the Sully and Steve on Sports Lightning Round. And you want to stick with Matt Harvey, or you want to try to jump to something else?
Describe the Islander thing to Eric.
Yeah, because
with the Barclays Center?
Yeah.
All right, well, supposedly...
Because all I'm aware of is how, like, there's one seat where you cannot see anything.
Well, there's more than two sections.
There's a couple
of different sections where the sidelines...
But that's not it.
Completely suck ass.
By the way... I went to an Islanders game at the Barclays Center back, March 11th, I think, against Carolina.
Yeah.
And I got to say, I paid over $130 for rink-level seats. I mean, the view that I had...
I hate you.
You know we've been to our fair share of hockey games.
Yes.
However, you have not truly been to one until you have had seats like this.
I've had seats like that in the past.
I mean, there was one point in the game where... Carolina was in the net closest to me, and I forgot who it was, but one of the Islanders takes a slap shot, and I see the puck heading right towards me, and I see my life flash before my eyes before it ricochets off the glass.
Yeah,
and plus I'd also been drinking, so of course it was more terrifying.
Your $12 beer.
Well, actually, no, I had I'm proud to say I had four shots of Jack, a Heineken,
$50,
and three screwdrivers.
$50.
So and yet
$60. Sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah. Pretty much.
Yeah.
And yet I was still sober enough to pretty much remember a lot. But anyway, oh my God, seeing a hockey game at that level is one hell of an experience.
And I saw you on TV a couple times that night. We both did.
Yes.
So what's going on with the Islanders is they're getting, well, them and the Barclays Center are going to opt out mutually at the end of this season, supposedly.
Uh huh.
To get the Islanders out of Barclays Center because...
Are they going to go back to the barn?
Well, no. That bridge has been completely burned. They're not coming back to Nassau.
No matter how many Nassau County politicians want you to believe that the Islanders will be coming back...
They're not coming
to
back.
...to Nassau Coliseum.
Because the ice conditions have been complained about
by the
players.
The Islanders are coming back.
Not happening. So there's rumors that they're going to go to Belmont Park. They're going to build a hockey rink there.
Really?
Yeah, that's
Belmont or in Flushing.
Yeah, I've been hearing right next to City Field a lot, too.
Ooh.
And, oh, yeah, by the way, as a Jet fan, did you hear about this with Robbie Anderson?
No, do tell.
All right. So, supposedly, Robbie Anderson is facing a felony charge after being arrested at a music festival in Miami on Sunday. According to multiple reports, Anderson was arrested at the Rolling Loud Festival and has been charged with a felony count of resisting arrest with violence, as well as an obstruction of justice. Anderson is accused of pushing a police officer and fighting with security after being asked to leave the concert.
And why was he asked to leave the concert? That I have to know.
I think it was for being too loud and
unruly
drunk.
Conduct, probably.
Yeah, disorderly conduct and all like.
You know, taking some things out, swinging it all over the place.
Oh, of course,
I don't know.
Yes.
I'm just guessing.
No, so would I. It's.
Oh dear God.
It seems like. Come on. It's the Jets.
Yeah.
You have to realize that.
J-E-T-S. Failure.
Yeah. No, I was going to go with J-E-T-S-S-U-C-K, because that seems like that's been the Jets' MO.
S-U-C-K. Suck.
J-E-T-S. Sucks.
Yeah. It's from management all the way down, and that's why I've always contended that I am miserable year-round. I root for the Mets, the Jets, and the Islanders.
You're a glutton for punishment, Matt.
Exactly. I mean, come on, dude.
I hate to say you're a glutton for punishment.
It's like, if you expect success, it's like, you're happy when you complain about your team failing.
Yeah, exactly.
Come on, you two have known me since middle school. You guys know I've been miserable more often than not year-round.
Yeah, I mean, we've seen you wrestle with your jacket. That's how miserable.
Yes.
Shut the hell up.
And lose, by the way.
You're lucky I'm not taking a swing at either one of you right now. You're so lucky I'm in a good mood tonight, and I'm not coming out swinging. I hate both of you so much for that. Oh, you couldn't wait to get that on the show, could you?
It's fine, Matt.
Yeah,
it's
I could just
see him shaking with laughter.
Yeah.
Have you ever noticed you got that one friend that you can't look at, otherwise you're dead? That's what's happening.
Exactly.
Yeah. That'll give you a frame of reference.
And
right
then
now.
He hits you. You think she's flying? Stand by.
Ow!
You know, no one really understands what the hell you're saying.
Watch Jim Norton,
you will understand.
Yes. Jim Norton's One Night Stand.
Yes.
That's the reference right there.
Oh, boy. What a show today.
Yep.
Yeah, we have a few more seconds before the out goes, so it was...
This is kind of the fine, entertaining programming you'll get on Sully and Steve on Sports.
Without Steve or Dan.
Or Danny.
Well, hopefully...
Sully and Steve, son Steve.
Yeah.
And third Mike Dan.
Hopefully they'll be back.
They'll be back.
Hopefully they'll show up.
Or at least make an appearance via Skype. We did ask them to come on the show.
And did they respond at all?
Are you ready for
that
cleanup?
No, they did not respond at all. So.
They're probably still mourning over the
Oh,
the
Steve,
pro-
if you check Steve's Facebook,
yeah, I
he'll,
saw
he'll,
it.
He'll probably throw some
No, I saw it already.
I'm going to love this.
Surprisingly, no profanity from Steve, but it was a very depressing Facebook post indeed. On that note, we have run out of time for this episode of the show. I'd like to remind everybody once again that you can follow us on various forms of social media. Facebook.com/SollySteveOnSports. Twitter at @S_S_Sports. Use the #SollySteve. Either way works. At both Facebook and Twitter, you can get all your updates on the sports world. Get all your updates on this very show. And since we are an interactive program, ask us questions. We'll be more than happy to answer them each and every week here on the show. Keep your eyes and ears peeled for mini rants, which are stories that are so rant-worthy, they cannot wait for regularly scheduled shows. We'll get them out to you as often as possible, or at least I will. You've got the blog, ssonsports.blogspot.com. All the latest episodes of the show are on iTunes. Everything we've ever recorded is on SoundCloud. Just search Sully and Steve on Sports. Hit download and take us with you wherever you go. If you have any questions, concerns, comments, or whatever you don't want to leave on social media, find with us. Email sullystevonsports@gmail.com. For everybody working hard behind the scenes, for Eric and Jeff, I'm Sally. We will be back same time, same place, hopefully with Steve and Danny, next week.